So we were discussing on the last couple of weeks different aspects of the mitzvah of pru revu, of being fruitful and multiply. But just to go back a step, is that we mentioned, I said we'll go into, is what about the mitzvah of marriage? What about the mitzvah of kedushin? In other words, it's clear there's a mitzvah of pru revu, there's a mitzvah of having kids. What the mitzvah is, that you have a major discussion, whether it's the sexual act that trying to have kids, or is it the actual having kids? But going back a step, what about the mitzvah of kedushin? When you go to a wedding, we have on the canopy, and the rabbi saying the bracha. We have a sitter over here. Any sitter would do, right? And so we know before we have something called kedushin, and the nisuin is marriage. Kedushin we don't really have today. We do it right away. We do everything all one shot. But it used to be during times of the Gemara, they used to have kedushin with the husband and wife giving the ring, and they didn't live together until like 12 months later. They did the nisuin process later on. Today we do it all one. We do everything together. We do the kedushin. Then we do, we read the ksuva, and then we go ahead and do the nisuin. So the question is there a mitzvah per se of getting married, or is the mitzvah really pru revu? The mitzvah is having kids. However, the only way to have kids is you have to get married. Or do I say it's more than that? Getting married itself, even if you didn't plan on having kids, is an independent mitzvah. That's what we'll discuss today, whether the mitzvah of kedushin itself is a mitzvah, or it's just a hechad timz, it's a way of fulfilling, it's what they call a hechsher mitzvah. It's preparing you to be, it's a mitzvah of lulav on sukkahs, but if I don't buy it, I'm not going to do it. In other words, is the mitzvah itself the kedushin, or it's just the preparation in order that one can fulfill the mitzvah? So the bracha we make, or usually the rabbi makes, is Baruch Atah Hashem Olam Sivanu Al HaRayis. He commands us on the forbidden relationships, va'asalanu esarusos, and we're prohibited to live with an arusa until she does the nisuin, until she finishes the process. They can't live with each other. V'hitiyalanu esanisuas ayidei chupa v'kedushin, through chupa and kedushin. Barachat Hashem akayish amayisa ayidei chupa v'kedushin. So actually, that's the bracha we make. So actually, it's based on this week's parsha, the Ketosis and Ksuvis, the Gemara and Ksuvis. And the Avzai and Amibes, and Tosis points out, in this week's parasha, or this past week's parasha, it says, Vayivarachu as Rivka. And talking about the marriage of Yitzhak and Rivka, and they put, Vayivarachu as Rivka, so Tosis learns out, from here's a allusion to, a hint to the Birkas Erisin, what I just read. From here is an allusion to the brachas you make before the Kedushin, but you make at the Kedushin. And Tosis goes in to explain that not only do, and we see a bigger chiddush here, that Rivka didn't, in other words, Yitzchak wasn't there himself. Avram appointed Eliezer as a shliach. So we see even if a shliach, you send someone else to get marry you off, so you still can make the bracha. But the question is, what type of bracha is this? We make a bracha under the chuppah, before, by the kedushin. So what type of blessing is this? Because it's not the classical bracha, we met al natilas lulav, leishe basukka, shemiya shofar. It seems like a very strange bracha, a long text. Why is the bracha here different than most other blessings? It's not the classical blessing we make. So why not make a simple bracha al mitzvahs kedushin? Why do we mention the forbidden unions, arusa, nesua, chuppa? What's all this? What's all this?
Thrust of it is, rather than the getting married is the mitzvah, it's being sanctified is the mitzvah, keeping things pure. So ostensibly somebody could keep pure by being a bachelor.
But how do you figure that?
We're saying he forbade betrothed women to us and permitted women who are married to us.
No, then that's what we're making this, and now they're doing. Right, now they're doing the kedushin in order to show up until now.
Yeah.
Special uniqueness of the Jewish marriage, so we'll get to. That's it.
So who sanctifies his people Israel through canopy and consecration? So we're to be sanctified. It doesn't say, there's nothing in there that says we have a commandment.
No, but that's right. Mary. No, right. But that's right. We're saying the chuppah of a kedushin. We're saying how you get married through the process of chuppah and kedushin.
The blessing is on the marriage. He's blessed those who have chuppah and kedushin.
Yeah, but aren't there some brachot that you do that if I elect to do a certain thing, if I elect to have a meal right now, I would do a certain brachot. But that's only if I elect to do a meal. I'm not saying you have to have a meal at noon today. But if I happen to have one with bread, I have to use
That's what we'll get to. There's basically three different categories of brachas. It's three different. Not all brachas are equal. There's one. What you just said, the bracha we make before eating, that's called the birchas hanenin. The bracha we make before we get any benefit from any food, basically the Gemara says in brachas that one pasuk says, God gave the Hashemayim Shemayim Hashem Aretz Hatzang Ovnei Adam, that the land, heaven's for God, but the land he gave to us. Another place says that it belongs to God. So Gemara says, Lo Kasha, no difficulty. Kan Kodem Bracha, Kan Acha Bracha. Before you make the Bracha, everything belongs to God. After you make the Bracha, God permits you to eat it. So that's the Brachas on food. That's a separate category of Birchas Hanenin. If you want to get benefit from food, you have to make a blessing first. It permits you, it's like eating stolen food if you don't make a bracha. And by making the bracha, you know, God permits you to eat it. That's one category. There's a second category called birchas hamitzvah. A bracha we make before we do a mitzvah. Like we put on a tefillin, we in the sukkah, lulav, the classical birchas hamitzvah. That's the second category. And the third category is a birkas shevach v'hodah, a blessing of praise and thanksgiving. We praise God. Let's say we make brachas on thunder, lightning, on different types of the creations. You see beautiful things. So the question is, number one's out of the picture. The question is, the bracha we're making in the kedushin, which category does that fall under? Does it fall under the classical birkas hamitzvah, or does it fall under the category of birkas shevach v'hodah? We're praising God on the institution of marriage. Which one is it? So we'll see, there's going to be a dispute.
You have to pick one, or only one, do you think? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you're going to have different opinions what it is, but every person has to pick one. Okay. So the Rambam writes, Maimonides writes in Hilchas Ishus, Perek Gimel, Halacha Chaf Gimel, he writes as follows. It's called Makadish Isha. Anyone who's going to Makadish, who's going to marry a woman, Sarach Levarach Kodem Kiddushin. One has an obligation to make the blessing before the husband gives the wife the ring. You have to make the blessing first. You make the blessing before the Kiddushin. V'achakach Mekadesh. And after you make the bracha, then you do the Kiddushin. Why do you make the bracha first and then do the Kiddushin? So the Rambam writes, Kiderach Shemavarachin Kodem Kohamitzvah. It's like, because that's the way that's the principle of the Gemara in Pesachim, and in other places singles out. We always make the blessings over lasiyason. Before we do the mitzvah, Chazal instituted in order to enhance the mitzvahs, and you get them prepared. So therefore, one makes a bracha before you do the mitzvah. So the Rambam saying the mitzvah of Kiddushin is no different than any other mitzvah. It's like Chazal said, you make the blessing first, then you do the mitzvah. So too by Kiddushin. And then the Rambam continues and says, "V'im kideish v'lo beirach." And if one did the kiddushin and forgot to make the blessing, or intentionally didn't make the blessing, whatever, you did the kiddushin without the bracha, lo yivarach achar kiddushin. It's too late. Once you did the kiddushin and you didn't make the blessing, then it's a no-go. It's what they call a bracha levatola. A blessing in vain. It's too late. It's like, once I finish the food, that's it. Even though that's a birkas hanenin. But the Rambam Shita is that when it comes to, we all know one is supposed to make the blessing first and then make a blessing afterwards. And not make it, before you do a mitzvah, you're supposed to make a bracha. What happens if you forgot to make a bracha and you already did the mitzvah? So the Rambam's opinion, universally, not just here, is one does not make a blessing after the mitzvah. It's too late. You only make the blessing before the mitzvah, and you don't make it after. There are other opinions, the Or Zaruah. This machlokas comes up in Hilchas Shechita, in the laws of slaughtering animals. You make the bracha before you slaughter the animal. What happens if you slaughtered the animal and you forgot to make the bracha? So the Rambam is consistent. The Rambam says it's too late. The Or Zaruah says, no, you could still make a bracha even after the mitzvah. What's the issue at hand? Whether you have to specifically make the bracha. Everyone agrees you should make it before. But what happens if you forgot and now you already did the mitzvah? The Rambam says it's too late. The other opinion says it's not too late. The issue is, what is the nature of the bracha before a mitzvah? Why do we make a bracha before a mitzvah as opposed to after? So the two schools of thought. One school of thought is the purpose of the blessing is a preparation. It's a heksher. It's to get you in the mood to do the mitzvah properly. You shouldn't just jump into the mitzvah. Kind of like Ashrei before Shmona Esrei. So one goes ahead and they make a bracha. So it's a preparation. Or do we say no? It's not to prepare. The issue is because it's to enhance the mitzvah. So therefore, if you're doing it to enhance the mitzvah, so therefore one could go ahead and make it even afterward. So the Rambam holds it's a preparation. Therefore, one you can't prepare for a mitzvah after it's done. And the other one says, no, it's not a preparation. It's to enhance it. So ideally you enhance it before, but you could still enhance it afterwards. That's how the Rambam, so that's the issue whether you make it. The Rambam's opinion is you make the bracha before the kedushin.
Brothers, could you chip in on the bus pass so I get to work? It's $40 I need. Look at my feet. From Milwaukee. No bus pass. I'm Christian.
Don't take your shoes off.
There's calluses on my feet.
Don't take your shoes off.
I need
40. We don't have any money right now.
If someone spares something, that's 20.
We don't carry the money.
That's 20. Yet. So I can get a bus pass to get to work.
But I don't have a. I just have change.
If
someone spares a 20. That's 20. Please. Put out the Jesus.
No, we don't have it.
Try somewhere else.
Try somewhere else. Okay. Thank you. So that's the opinion of the Rambam. The Rambam's opinion is that you make the bracha before the kedushin, and therefore once you mess up, that's it. It's too late. So that's the opinion of the Rambam. So we see two things from the Rambam. Number one is you always make the bracha before the mitzvah. But we see something fundamental he's telling us about our original question. We see according to the Rambam, getting married itself is a mitzvah. As we mentioned, we discussed last week, the week before, there's a mitzvah of having kids. So everyone agrees there's a mitzvah of having kids. The question is what exactly is the mitzvah, but there's a mitzvah of having kids. The question is, what about getting married? Is that a mitzvah in its own right, or that's just a preparation? In order to have kids, you have to get married. So we see the Rambam holds inherently, so we see two factors. He assumes getting married is a mitzvah in its own right, even if you wouldn't have kids. And secondly, like he says, and the blessing follows the same principle like every other. Before you do a mitzvah, you make a bracha. So that's the opinion of Maimonides. First the bracha, and then the mitzvah. And he's telling us kedushin is a mitzvah.
What would be his crop?
What would be what?
What would be his proof text for that? His scriptural proof text. We go back to Dan Aden, where it said
his proof would be
for man to be alone.
Ki yikach ish isha. It's a pasuk later on. I think it's in Parshas Kisetze. So ki yikach ish isha, when a man takes a woman. That's what the Gemara in Kedushin talks about. So that's the opinion of the Rambam. The Rush disagrees. The Rush in Ksuvis says, what are you talking about? It's not a Birkas HaMitzvah. There is no mitzvah of Kedushin. There's no mitzvah per se. The mitzvah is Pru Revu. The mitzvah is having kids. The only way to have kids, the only appropriate way to having kids is to get married. So therefore, he says, obviously if it's not a mitzvah, it can't be a Birkas HaMitzvah. What type of bracha is it? He says it's a Birkas Shevach V'Hodah. The bracha we make when we get married, isn't it a blessing before a mitzvah? Because there is no mitzvah. It's a blessing on, we're praising God on the institution of marriage. It's a like that's why, and that's why it makes sense. The text makes sense. According to the Rambam, we'll have to answer how come we don't have the classical Birkat HaMitzvah, Al Mitzvah's Kedushin. According to the Rush, it makes sense. We're praising God on the institution of marriage. We talk about the forbidden unions, that this person is prohibited, this is permitted, and we talk about the text itself lends itself to what the Rush is saying. That's one of the proofs the Rush has is, if it's a mitzvah, this make the this say Al Mitzvah's Kedushin. From the fact the text is a much longer lengthy text, it shows credence, and he said there's no difference. He says, you know, it's like Birkas HaMazon, that we have a mitzvah. See, the blessing we make before we eat is a Birkas HaNenin. But the bracha we make when we bench after we eat bread, that's a Birkas, we're thanking God, and, you know, and we're praising God on Eretz Yisrael, on Torah, and all the different things we're praising.
Not a blessing, not a mitzvah.
Right. So that's a fundamental dispute between the Rambam and the Rush. It's the mitzvah of Kiddushin, number one. Shevach is praise and hodah and thanksgiving.
Shevach.
The hodah. So that's the question. So it comes as a double machlokas. Number one is.
So it's like it's analogous to the benching.
Right, that's right. Correct.
Sheva brachas are analogous to
the right, in terms of it's a praise of God. It's not a, right, it's not a birkas hamitzvah.
So what, that's a. Brachas is after the fact.
Right, that's a. But,
so would that suggest then it's not mandatory? It's just you do that if you do get married?
Well, no. Well, either way, no, he would say it's mandatory only for indirect reason. Cause you have to have kids. So, in other words, that's everyone agrees you have to have kids. So, it's just a tactical issue. If everyone agrees to have the kids, you got to get married. The question is marriage itself a mitzvah in its own right, or no? It's just a preparation for the having kids. My nafkamina is the question. What's the difference? According to both the Rambam and the Rush, you have to have kids and you're going to get married. So therefore, what's the difference between them? So the first difference is, when do you make the blessing? When do you make this bracha of the Birkas Erison? So the Rambam spelled out when. The Rambam clearly stated, you make the blessing precedes the mitzvah. Like any other bracha before, like any other mitzvah, we make the blessing first, then we do the mitzvah. The Birkas Erison is no different. However, the Rush disagrees and says the more appropriate time for the blessing is after you do the Kiddushin. It's like you thank God for the food after you eat the bread. But Birkas HaMazon is after you eat it, not before. He says, the first machlokas Rambam and Rush is, when is the appropriate time to make this blessing? The Rambam's opinion is before the husband gives the ring to the woman, and the Rush is after. Once, if they're thanking God, or praise Him on the institution of marriage, let them get married first and have something to praise them over. That's one machlokas, is when do you make this blessing? Interesting enough, there's a third opinion. How could you have a third opinion? That no one says it's a Birkas Hana, but the Ravid's opinion, he agrees in principle with the Rambam. He agrees in principle with the Rambam that it's a Birkas HaMitzvah, that Kiddushin is a mitzvah. And therefore, one would conclude then that you make the bracha before. But that's where the Ravid goes off. And the Ravid says, no. He says, I agree with the Rambam in principle, Kiddushin is a mitzvah, but I agree with the Rush in practice that the blessing comes after the Kiddushin. So the question is, doesn't make any sense at first glance. In other words, the Rambam's consistent, it's a Birkas HaMitzvah, you always make a bracha before. The Rush is consistent on a Birkas Shevach V'Hodah, you make the blessing, it's more appropriate to make that blessing after the act. But what is the, how do you make any sense out of the Ravid? It's a Birkas HaMitzvah, yet you make the bracha after. How does that make any sense? So, it makes sense as follows. Because the Gemara in Psachim and Dav Zayin goes into, it has a whole discussion on the brachas in general and on the text of the brachas. And we discussed at different times also the relevance of not only the bracha, but the prefix. In other words, when do you make al and when do you make la? Like sometimes in blessings we make like a le, like we spoke by shofar. Like we say, lishmoa kol shofar, to hear the shofar. But others say, let's say, the way we don't follow, let's say Rabbi Notam says al tekiya shofar. Rabbi Notam says you make al on the blowing of the shofar. But besides the machlokas of blowing and hearing what the mitzvah is of shofar, we see the prefix is different. The Rambam writes it's litkoa, lishmoa with a lamid, And the Rabbeinu Tam says, Al. So what's this machlokas Al and La? So the Rambam in Perek, based on the Gemara in Pesachim, so the Rambam writes in Hilchas Brachas, I think it's in Perek Yud Aleph, he gives you three different basic principles about when you say Al versus when you say La. Like, what's it all about? So the first thing he says like this, he says, the Rambam writes, if you're making, whenever you make a bracha before the mitzvah, you make with the prefix la. But if you're making the blessing after the mitzvah, it's the prefix al. That's one principle. The second principle, and therefore he says, by normal, when we make a bracha, we're doing, you know, we always make it la usually, because we usually make the bracha first. The second principle he gives is, on a mitzvah you have to do, on a mitzvah, on a chova, on a mandatory commandment, you have to make a, you have to, you make a law, but an optional mitzvah, you make al. So for instance, it says like shchita, like you don't have to eat meat, but if you're going to eat meat, this is the way you have to do it. So therefore you make al hashchita, you don't make law. So the question is, and the third difference he says is, if you're doing the mitzvah for yourself, so then you make a la. If you're doing it for someone else, you make al. So the classic example he gives, let's say the mitzvah mezuzah. If I'm putting up a mezuzah in my own house, I'm doing my own mitzvah, I make the bracha la, l'kvoa mezuzah. But if Henry calls me up and says, you know, can you help me put up the mezuzahs, and I put up, it's his mitzvah, but I'm doing it, so I make the, I do al, I'm facilitating his mitzvah, so I make al. So the Rambam's principle is, three things he gives us. If you're doing it, if you're making the blessing before you do the mitzvah, it's la. If you're doing a mitzvah that you have to do, that's la. And if you're doing a mitzvah for yourself, it's la. And the reverse is you make the al. So that's what the Gemara talks about in Pesachim. However, and there are certain exceptions. Like every rule, there are exceptions to the rule. So there are certain situations where even the Rambam agrees that you have to make the blessing after the mitzvah. Usually, you know, 90% of the time that you have to make the blessing before the mitzvah. However, even the Rambam will agree, and we do, we make certain times we make blessings after the mitzvah. What are, can you think of any exceptions to the rule where the blessing must come after? It's not like, it's in cases where... Very good. So one example is, what do we do? We wash our hands first, and then we say Al Netilas Yadayim. You know, we try to rub our hands like this a little before we make the bracha. But with the point being, number one, we're making Al, but so why don't we make the bracha first? Because it's very pragmatic. You can't make a bracha with dirty hands. So obviously you wait till you wash your hands, but that's in one exception, right? Any other exceptions where we have to make the blessing? Usually we make the blessing before a mitzvah. What are some exceptions to that rule where we make the blessing after the mitzvah? Right, so that's the classic case, is tfilas ger. If a Gentile comes to convert to Judaism, that's the classical case. Oh, obviously, right. Before he goes into the mikveh, or she goes into the mikveh, she can't make a bracha, she's not Jewish. Right. Okay. It's only until after. So there are different cases when pragmatically you can work it out before. That's why I was looking at Kim. And so certain times, pragmatically, you can't make the bracha before, and other times it's theologic, you know. So the Tiyajim is a pragmatic example. You have dirty hands, but Ger is a fundamental one, and that's why. What about when we put? So they point out over here. So the Ravid says he gives another exception to the rule that the Gemara says. Now the Ravid comes and says this. Now the Ravid has tefillin. No, Rabbi, that's because, but you make it before you tie it in the right spot. In other words, the same thing with the hand. In other words, you first put it on, but the mitzvah is the kshartam. Do you make the bracha before you tighten it? Therefore, the bracha is before. And same thing with the head. It's before you put it in the right. You want, because there's another principle. It has to be over lasiyasim and not over the over. In other words, it can't be too far in advance. In other words, I have to do a mitzvah before. But I can, you know, I'll make my bracha and tefillin now, and in half an hour I'll put it on.
We say el mitzvah tefillin, rosh hashanah rosh.
Right.
That's what your point is.
Yeah.
So that should be that goes after you.
Yeah. First you put it on. All the Rebbe is saying is that you haven't totally set it in place.
You make the bracha.
It's on your head, but it's not firmly fixed in the right place.
Right, so you don't get the mitzvah it's on until you have it in the right spot. It's like you're not wearing tefillin if you're not wearing. If I wear my tefillin down here, so I'm not fulfilling the mitzvah.
But it would seem that because you say el
mitzvah. El mitzvah is tefillin.
Yeah, then it would seem as though that's one of the brachot that you would do after you perform the mitzvah, right? Is that right?
That's right. That's
this is an exception, isn't
it? Right, that's one of the reasons we say el, because since we're doing like. Since we have it on our head first before we actually do it, that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
Right. So they point out another example is actually lulav. Yeah. Al netilas lulav, we say. Why do we say al netilas lulav? Because really the halacha is, you know, what we try to do is we turn over the pitton, we try to do things, but really, as the Vilna Gaon points out, mida agbe nafikle, the Gemara tells us, by once you pick it up, you basically fulfill the mitzvah. We could try all the things we want to prevent it, but the bottom line is, once you have it in hand, you have the mitzvah, and therefore, really, it's not what we're really not doing that one over last year. Since that's so, those are another example. So you check when you see the text, and so the normally was before, and then you could figure out from the text from the prefix. So the Ravid says, I'm adding to that. You know what? Kedushin is a mitzvah. And I agree with the Rambam, there's a mitzvah to get married. It's not just a mitzvah to have kids, there's a mitzvah per se to get married. It's not just a way of having kids. However, the Ravid says, if the mitzvah is exclusively in your hands, it's my control if I put on my tefillin today, if I put on tzitzit, if I shake luav, a mitzvah which is exclusively in my hands, then I make a bracha on. But a mitzvah which is tali bedas acherim, a mitzvah which is dependent on someone else, I can't make the bracha until afterwards. Maybe the girl's going to say no. Will you marry me? No. Okay. But I made the bracha. Bracha levatola. So that's a derived sheet. It's derived. That's the third opinion. The Rambam is it's a birkas hamitzvah. The bracha comes first. The Rush's opinion in it's a we're praising the institution of marriage. Birkas shevach v'hoda. And therefore you make it after. The Ravid didn't seem to make any sense. He says I agree. It's a birkas hamitzvah. Yet I still make the bracha after. And the reason is because there's certain exceptions to the rule. And one exception is, he says, if it's dependent on someone else, so therefore I obviously have to first to make sure the woman accepts the ring first. When she accepts, now I can make the bracha. That's the Shitas HaRaivit. Well, halacha, how do we follow? So halacha l'maisa, we make the blessing like the Rambam before the mitzvah. However, we don't totally agree with the Rambam. The Rambam Shitas is once you miss it, it's over. We don't agree with that. If you forgot to make the bracha before, as long as you're still involved in the kiddushin, if you didn't do nisuin yet, if you didn't do the second, you could still make the bracha. In fact, the certain shitas, right, kolzman, you could recite the bracha, you know, the whole time the kiddushin. So we assume like the Rambam l'chatchila, because even according to Rush, it's still good if you make the bracha. Before he just said it's more appropriate. So according to the Rambam, you can't make it after. According to the Rush, it's just more appropriate to make it after. So therefore, it's a win-win. We make it before. But if we forget, we don't accept the Rambam totally. We say you still make it right afterwards, if you remember. That's one nafkimina. One practical difference is, so we said the issue is Kedushin itself a mitzvah? The Rambam says yes, Rush says no. The difference is, when do you make the blessing? The Rambam says you make it before. According to the Rush, you make it after. According to the Ravid, there is no difference. He says whether you hold it's a mitzvah or not, either way, you always make it after because you have to make sure the woman says yes. A second distinction is as follows. Who makes this bracha? This birkas erisin that usually the rabbi makes, who makes it? So according to the Rambam, whose mitzvah is it? According to my Maimonides, whose mitzvah is it on getting married? The rabbi's mitzvah or the chassan's mitzvah?
Hopefully not.
It's the chassan supposed to be getting married. So, ki yikach yishisha. So, we know the principle is the one who does the mitzvah is the one who makes the bracha. So, why is it that the rabbi is the mesada kiddush and why can't the chassan make the bracha? So interesting, the Archas Chaim, others point out, Kidei Shelo Yavayish Misha'ena Yodea. We have a principle. We have
say the same thing of the Bris Milah.
You know, well, the kid can't do it. I'm saying,
can't do it.
All right, that's a pragmatic example.
Well, that's not the kid's to do.
That's right. That gets into.
And then that gets into
whose mitzvah it is, right? But that's a separate discussion we'll save for Milah. So it says, Kidei Shelo Yavayish Misha'ena Yodea. In other words, not to embarrass certain people who don't know how to read Hebrew, who can't make blessings. So therefore, if everyone would do their own blessing, and then you'll know who knows who can read Hebrew, who can't. And not to embarrass the chassan, like we have by Kriya Satorah. Originally, it used to be if you got an aliyah, you paid the price. You had to read your portion. But enough people were coming late, running away. They didn't want to because they didn't know how to read it.
I thought he meant I had to get David to do it for me.
So the designated reader, so we had the Baal Kori is now, so in strictly speaking, the one who calls up the aliyah is the one reading the Torah for everyone. The Baal Kori is representing the one who read the Torah. So it's the same concept. So therefore, really in principle, the chassan should be making the bracha according to the Rambam. It's only for, again, another pragmatic reason, not to embarrass the chassan, we allow someone else to make it. But really, the rabbi isn't making it for himself. We hope not, or else he's married to her. The rabbi is making it for the chassan. He's the representative of the chassan. But basically, in principle, the chassan should be making the blessing. The rabbi is just facilitating it, but it's for him. And in fact, based on this, the Noah de Biyuda says, what happens if you have a chassan who's deaf, who's a cheresh, who can't hear? So he says, it's a problem then. The rabbi can't make a bracha then, because the only reason, I can't make a bracha, I'm not the one getting married, I'm making a bracha on behalf of the chassan. If the chassan can't hear the bracha, so therefore it doesn't work. He says, perhaps maybe if the kala is not deaf, if he says the chassan and kala are both deaf, then you can't make a bracha. But perhaps he suggests maybe if the kala could hear, so the bracha is going on both of them, so it's okay. But that's what he says. Really, in principle, the chassan should be making it, even though he's not making it, but he has to hear it. In other words, he's making it on behalf, and then he drinks the wine. The chassan and kala drink the brachas on their behalf, so if they don't hear the bracha, you can't make it.
I raise another question then. Is there any way that a man could be a rabbi and yet be exempt from the mitzvah of marriage for any reason? Because then that bracha would not be good because he is not obligated under that, right? You can only have somebody say it for you if they're also obligated. Is that correct?
In the case of Kedama following...
To say the bracha, it's only valid... If
this bracha we're
it,
talking about?
Yeah, if somebody says it for you,
right,
it's only valid if they're also obligated in that. Is that correct?
That's going to be the Rashi's kasha on the Rambam. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying that's the kasha we're going to ask on the Rambam. Your kasha you're asking me right now. That's going to be the question in a second. That's my next question. But what we're saying before that is what we're saying is really according to the Rambam. I'm setting up the question. You just asked it. The Rambam really holds it's a mitzvah on the chassan. So really, he should make it. However, not to embarrass, we have somebody else make it. And therefore, if the chassan's deaf, then he can't make it. Comes along the rich one, the Russian, say, Rambam, what are you talking about? Lo matzino shezu osem mitzvah v'zu mevarach. We never find that I make a bracha on someone else's mitzvah. Kim saying, if I make a bracha for you, the principle is, we all have to be obligated. For instance, Friday night, you come to my house. You're all obligated in Kiddush. So we're all obligated in Kiddush, I can make the bracha for you. But it's another reason called Yatzah Matzah. There's a discussion whether even if I did the mitzvah, because fundamentally I'm still, even if I fulfill my mitzvah, Kiddush still applies to me. But let's say a mitzvah I'm not obligated in, I can't do a mitzvah for you. That's the rich mitzvah. What's the Rambam talking about? How could we never find anywhere that usually it's the one who makes the bracha, is the one who's chayiv in the mitzvah. How could you tell me that the rabbi's making the bracha, but it's the chassan's mitzvah? It doesn't make any sense. And then he goes on to all his questions on the Rambam. He says, why don't we make the bracha al mitzvah's kedusha if you tell me it's a mitzvah? Or what's this, why are we bringing up by shrita, we say al hashrita. We don't say, you know what, and God, you forbade us to eat an aver minachai, a limb from a living animal. We don't go into a whole description about the philosophy behind the mitzvah. Why is it that we go over here? Therefore, the Ritva and the Rush reject the Rambam. They say, It's not your mitzvah. If it's the chassan's mitzvah, the rabbi can't make the bracha for you. Ella, that's what forces the rush to conclude. This is a bracha on the institution of marriage. It's a birkas shalach v'hodah. And that's why anyone can make the bracha. And you know why the rabbi or someone else usually makes the bracha? It's not like the Rambam saying that because not to embarrass. We don't find anyone making a bracha for someone else. It's because the bracha is not on, there is no mitzvah of kedushin. The mitzvah is on the institution of marriage. And whether the person's deaf or not, whether it's the chassan or anyone else, anyone can make the bracha. So that's the first machlokas is, do you make the bracha before or after? The second issue is, how do we explain the rabbi making the bracha? So according to the rabbi, we'll have to say, because not to embarrass the chassan. But the rest of it, we never find that. It must be that the fact that we always have a third party making the bracha, he has no mitzvah of kedushin. The mitzvah is on the institution of marriage, and therefore that's why. And as I always point out, and here I don't mean the institution of marriage like Seinfeld when they make fun of the marriage. I mean the concept of the kedusha, like we have the institution of kahuna. Like it's a famous Chasam Sofer, I say over many times, regarding, he has it on Parashat Emor. Let's say someone walks into the shul, you don't know who he is, and let's say you assume he's Jewish, and you ask him, what are you, Kohen Levi Yisrael? The guy's saying, you know what? I always wanted to get that Kohen. How does it feel to get up there? I'm going to tell them I'm a Kohen. And later on you find out he lied about it. So the Chasam Sofer says, no problem, because you're not giving cover to the individual Kohen. It's the institution of Kahuna. He claimed he was a Kohen. So therefore, I'm giving them the same concept. You have an institution of marriage here. Obviously, that person can't do it. We're saying post facto, it's okay.
Does that mean that all those guys in Hawaii who are known as the big Kahuna are actually Kohanim?
I thought there was only one big Kahuna.
Well, there's probably one in every island. That's all I'm saying.
So that's the second issue. So the Rush says, obviously, it's on the institution of marriage, and hence, that's why someone else is no problem. So according to the Rambam, there's a mitzvah you do it before, and the chassan should really be doing it. According to the Rush, you can make the blessing after, and anyone can do it because it's on the institution of marriage. So the Rambam, so the text of the bracha seems to favor the Rush, because we don't have, it's not the classical blessing before the mitzvah. It's the non-classical bracha. So how would the Rambam explain? The question on the Rambam is, why isn't, if you're saying it's a birkas ha-mitzvah, the text should be al mitzvahs kedushin, or a kaddish es ha-isha. Why isn't it, why do we have this strange text? So, the Mefarshim want to explain as follows. The Rokeach, in general, talks about, it's a Gemara in Pesachim and Av Zayin, when we make the bracha, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu, we're showing you that gives us our sanctity. And that's why it's a whole discussion that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the people who live Kodem and Torah, did they have the full status of Jews or not? Because until you got the Torah Har Sinai, maybe there wasn't a concept of Jew. So there's a whole discussion, was Avram considered Jewish or not? The Rav Soloveitchik basically explains that there's like an in-between stages. Basically, they originally were like any Ben Noach. But God basically started giving mitzvahs to, like Avram did the Milah, he started diving Shacharis, Yitzchak got a mincha. Slowly but surely, the Rambam writes, they kept on adding mitzvahs. That's how you get the Kedusha, Asher Kedushim Mitzvah B'Tzivano. So the uniqueness of the Jewish people is the mitzvahs. So therefore, the Mefarshim point out, let's say a generic mitzvah, meaning by generic mitzvah, means let's say a mitzvah which is universal. It's not limited to the Jewish people. Let's say, for instance, the mitzvah of charity. But I always point out, really, charity really isn't a good way of explaining what tzedakah is, because charity, and it comes from the Latin word, which basically charity implies, I am doing something extra. I'm doing charity work. I'm volunteering. Or it's, I don't really have to do this, but it's charity. In Judaism, tzedakah isn't an option. You have from tzedek, you have an obligation. You have to do it. So, but either way, that's the word they use. So we use charity, but really, charity and tzedakah are two different worlds. But let's say, so the mitzvah of tzedakah, it's a general mitzvah. So the non-Jews also have the Ran. That's a discussion, but the Ran claims that even Ben Noach are obligated in tzedakah, and that's why he. That's how the Ramban explains. That's why Sodom and Amorah, one of the reasons they were destroyed is because they didn't give charity. They treated people like garbage. If they weren't chayiv and tzedakah, how could you destroy? It must be that they were chayiv. But either way, so the Ran writes that you're not chayiv, that a non-Jew is obligated in tzedakah. So therefore he explains, so how come there's no, he says, how come we don't make a blessing? You come around with the pushka, and you put money in the pushka. Why don't you make a bracha? So number one, that's not so much of a kasha, because that's not, the mitzvah is really when the ani gets it. The fact that if you put it in the pushka and it never gets it, it's really, technically speaking, you never got the mitzvah. You know, in ani, you might get credit, klapi shamayim, but technically, the mitzvah isn't until the poor person or the institution gets it. So, but in general, he says, why don't you make a bracha on charity? Because when you make a bracha, you say, Asher kedin shalom, mitzvah vitzivanu. You're showing the uniqueness of the Jewish people. Charity is a universal mitzvah. Hence, Chazal never instituted a bracha before you give charity, because that's something which applies not only to Jews, but to Jews and non-Jews alike. So the principle, one of the principles is, whenever there's a mitzvah that applies universally, we make the bracha on lulav, only we do the lulav, on matzah, on tefillin, Asher kedin shalom, mitzvah vitzivanu. You commanded us, not the whole world. Something which is unique to the Jewish people, we usually, that's why I tell you, appointing a king, we don't make a bracha on, because appointing a king, everyone appoints a king. So the question is, though, and that's why he says there's no bracha on tzedakah. So therefore, the question is, marriage is something which is universal. Yes, I checked, Gentiles get married also. And in fact, Tosis points out, bulas bal yesh pem. The Gemara recognizes there is a concept of marriage by non-Jews. We recognize there is a concept of marriage by non-Jews. So the question is, why do we make a bracha at all? Is the kasha? What?
They're not obligated in tradition.
Are they? Right. That's what we're getting to. The question is. So we ask the question on the Rambam. It's a very strange text here. It should just say al mitzvahs kedushin. So the question is. So now we're asking a more fundamental question. Why do you make a bracha at all? If kedushin, if marriage is a universal mitzvah, why make up? So as Kim say, no, because the Torah is because the marriage ceremony by a non-Jew is fundamentally different than a marriage ceremony by a Jew. That's what we're focusing on in the bracha. By a Jew, we have kedushin and nisuin. In other words, we have two parts. The different forbidden relations that a Jew, let's say a mother-in-law or a wife's sister, certain things a Jew can't marry, but a non-Jew can. So there's a fundamental difference between a Jewish marriage and a non-Jewish marriage. So that's the pshat. So normally, on a universal mitzvah, we don't make a bracha. So what is the Rambam, number one, why make a bracha at all? If you're going to make a bracha, why are you making this? Because the Rambam said you have to hide, in order to make the bracha, you have to highlight the difference between a Jewish marriage. You have to show why kedushin is a Jewish thing. So in the text of the bracha, you say v'tzivanu al harayis v'asulonis arusas, and it demonstrates that it's not the general mitzvah of getting married, like the concept that the non-Jews have, but specifically it's a Jewish concept, and that's why you go into this strange text of chuppah kedushin. In fact, and Rav Aaron Soloveitchik pointed out it seems to be out of order. The bracha it says ayidei chuppah v'kedushin. We know kedushin comes first, and then you do the chuppah. So why does the text of the bracha say, so some have different lashonos, chuppah, big kedushin, but some point out, because the bracha is going on historically speaking, as the Rambam points, originally all there used to be was chuppah. People used to go together, man and woman got together, they lived together, and that was the chuppah. It wasn't until later on that we introduced the kedushin process. So it's historically speaking, the bracha is based on first it was chuppah, but we know, and we have first the kedushin. So that's what we're saying. According to the Rambam, it's a birchas hamitzvah. Now, if it's a birchas hamitzvah, why make a bracha at all? Because you don't make a bracha on a universal mitzvah, because the mitzvah of marriage is different. And specifically over here, we want to demonstrate in the text of the bracha. So you'll ask me, so what about tzedakah then? So why not make no bracha? Why don't we make a bracha that maybe you'll tell me that the mitzvah tzedakah is the same, one you might argue. Well, no. Even though the mitzvah tzedakah is different, but there are other reasons why we don't make tzedakah also, besides this reason, which we'll have to... In other words, something which involves a machshava, a thought process, we don't make a bracha on. In other words, for instance, like on Pesach night, or I should say Erev Pesach, we have a mitzvah of nullifying the chametz and burning the chametz. So really the biblical mitzvah is nullifying it. Bittul. Bittul Belev Sagi, nullifying, saying the chametz no longer belongs to me. You fulfill your biblical, and if you didn't do a thing after that, you don't violate the biblical commandment of owning chametz. You no longer own chametz. Yet the bracha we only make on the mitzvah derabanan of the burning of the chametz. So why do we make the blessing on the rabbinical mitzvah and not the biblical mitzvah? Because since bittul is bittul belev sagi, any mitzvah that can be fulfilled by yisodo in the heart, you don't make a bracha. So really, by tzedakah, once you think about your, before you actually say it, but if you commit in your heart to give the charity, you basically become chayev. Or in tshuva, why don't we make a bracha before we do tshuva? Because tshuva is b'yisodah b'leiv, so we don't make a bracha. So therefore, that's the other, so the other reason why we don't make a bracha on tzedakah, but the yisod here, the Rambam is, so let's summarize. We had a discussion. We know pru revu is a mitzvah. What about kedushin? Is kedushin a mitzvah in its own right, or it's just a preparation? It's a way for me to fulfill Puruvu. So the Rambam's opinion is, Kedushin is a mitzvah in its own right. And the Rush says, no, it's no mitzvah. It's just a preparation. And the blessings we make are just a blessing on the institution of marriage, a Birkas Shevach V'Odo. What's the difference if I say, and then you have the Ravid who says it's a Birkas HaMitzvah, but since it's dependent on someone else, you have to make the bracha afterwards. What's the difference if I say it's a Kedushin, it's a mitzvah, or it's this on the blessings on the institution of the marriage? Number one is, you make the blessing before or after. The Rambam says before, the Rush says after. We assume we make it before, but b'diyeva we make it after. Who makes the bracha? According to the Rambam, the chassan should make the bracha, but not to embarrass him, we don't. But if he's deaf, then it's a problem. But according to the Rush, it doesn't make a difference. On the institution of marriage, anyone can make it. And the third issue is, the text of the bracha seems to favor the Rush. It's a b'yachos shevach v'odah. Why, according to the Rambam, do we have this strange text? The answer is because really you can't make a bracha on kedushin because it's a general mitzvah. So Chazal put into the text of the bracha highlighting the uniqueness of the Jewish people, marriage versus a non-Jew, and that's why you can make the bracha. So the text focuses on the uniqueness of the Jewish people. Therefore, you can say Hashem Kedushin Mitzvah B'Sivan, or you can make the bracha. Those are the differences on whether you assume kedushin is a mitzvah or not, and the relevance to the brachas and the issues when do you make the bracha, who makes the bracha, and what the text of the bracha should be. You have a question, Henry?
Yeah, the actual text of the Kedushin.
Right.
How much has it changed from the time of the Rambam?
No, that's the text. It's from the Gemara, this text.
This is from the Gemara. This
the
text.
The Gemara.
And that text is what...
That's what we say.
That's what we say. So it's actually
Institute. Right. The Gemara Institute, right. In fact, they learn it out from... And they hint to it by Rivka, this week's parasha, Rivka and Eliezer. They said you needed... that's how we know you learned 10 people, because that's why you had 10 camels. But obviously the camels don't help, but there must have been 10 men who were riding the camels. So
there's other things...
They learn out from Rivka and Eliezer, this week's parasha, right. But that's the text of the Gemara... The text comes from the Gemara already.
So
right, way before the Rambam's time,
okay.
Right.
All right. That's good. Yeah. Excellent.